Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the little boy her brother was playing with? Was he an imaginary friend or was he a ghost?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story and you want to share it with us. Call it in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, if you want to become a premium subscriber, you could do that. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Harper is here today.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good. We haven't talked in forever. Well, I mean, we've just spent the last hour talking before we hit record, but...
Yeah.
But we haven't talked for a long time, and so I'm happy. Sometimes it's hard with Harper's schedule because you go to school and my schedule, so sometimes it's just hard for us to get together. Doesn't mean I don't love you and miss you every day.
I miss you every day too, Carol. I'm always just like, I really wish I could record with Carol today, but it's just not a good time.
So here we are. So I've got a story for you that's not a ghost story, but it happened to me last night, and it's every bit as creepy as a ghost story to me. So last night, I went out to a concert, got home, and I sat down on my sofa, because, you know, once you get home from something like that, you're always all wound up. You can't go right to bed. So I sat down to watch TV for a little bit, and I look over at my cat, Izzy, and Izzy is sitting, like, I have this area rug. And he's on the area rug, and there's something that he's kind of poking at in front of him. And I'm like, and it looked like the color of mud. And I was like, what is that? And I'm looking at it, and I thought, is it a hairball? Maybe the other cat coughed up, and he's like, what is this? So I get up to look at it. Do you know what it was?
A human finger.
No. It was a baby snake that was alive. It was a baby snake.
Alive.
This is 11 o'clock at night. Where the hell this damn baby snake came from, I have no idea. I think.
Where's the mother?
I don't know. There's a lot of questions. Now this little orphaned baby snake is somewhere in my backyard. But I think maybe it got into my garage somehow because it was so tiny. You know, even if my garage is like a half inch from being 100% shut, I think it could have gotten underneath that. And then I think Izzy picked it up and brought it in. So then I go to the garage and I'm like, what the hell do I even pick it up with? I'm looking around my garage. I'm like, I can't touch it. That's not going to happen. I'm like, if I had a dog pooper scooper where, you know, like you put the thing down and like that I could have done, like you kind of rake it into the other basket thing. And so I'm like, I don't have that. Then I saw a bucket and I'm like, aha. So I got a broom and a bucket and I put the bucket on its side and held it between my feet and swept that baby snake into that bucket. I'm telling you what, it was everything I had to do that. I was like, at one point, I'm like, who do you call to remove a baby snake from your house? Because I can't. But I did it.
I'm like, I feel like I would have used like a paper towel and a pair of tongs. Just like put the paper towel over it and pick it up with the tongs.
Well, I don't have any tongs.
Oh.
So there's that. But that might have been a good, it was still a little too close to me. I wanted as much distance as I could. That's why the broom and the bucket worked out pretty good. So then when I get back into the living room, the snake's gone. And I see Izzy by the doors to go out into the backyard. So I've got these curtains and I pull the curtains aside. There's that damn baby snake. And it's like slithering around. That's like some creepy, that's the shit nightmares are made of. Really. Because then all night, so I shut the garage door. So even if there was another baby snake out there, it can't come in. And I looked around. I don't think there are any baby snakes out there. But, you know, they can get behind anything. It's not like I got everything pulled out. But then all night long, the cat would jump up on my bed, either one of them, which is normally where I'm like, oh, come and snuggle. Last night, I'm turning on my light. Did they have a baby snake in their mouth? I was just convinced he was going to bring in a baby snake and put it in my bed.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Might not be paranormal, but it truly is what nightmares are made of.
So, definitely.
So let's talk about something more pleasant, like ghost stories, imaginary friends, and ghosts. So this says, hey guys, I discovered your podcast a few months back. I've listened to it every workday. Anyway, I would like to share an experience of my own. I suppose it's safe to say I had a relatively interesting, safe, and healthy childhood in terms of location. I grew up on a large farm my family owned for over 100 years. For about 3 miles of this road, every house on the plot of land was owned by a family member. Since we were deep in the country, all of us children kind of just ran free without worrying our parents because every single person within walking distance was of close relation. One house in particular had been sitting on the land since the beginning. I had many great aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. grow up in that rundown house over the past 100 years and even a few deaths. My parents eventually built the house I grew up in directly in front of the old creepy place. Our back door was a mere 100 feet from the front porch. The place had always given me the creeps. It always felt as if someone was watching you from its old crooked windows. It had been empty in terms of living occupants for about 10 years. The last tenants were a great aunt and uncle who eventually moved. Old furniture remained inside, and it seemed my grandfather was letting it return to nature. That would be so weird to live in a house where you've got that creepy house like right there. Every time you go outside, it's only 100 feet away. That's not very far. When I was about 10 years old, my cousin and I decided that we were going to sleep in it one night to see who would chicken out first. Okay, let's stop there. Could you do that?
No.
No, me either. No. Especially like, let's do it to see who would chicken out first. We had lanterns and sleeping bags and ended up settling in the dark, dusty living room next to the old fireplace. Everything was fine for about an hour. We shared scary stories and talked about things that a couple of 10-year-old kids talked about and then laid down for the night to listen. That's interesting. They laid down for the night. Instead of to sleep, they laid down to listen. After about 15 minutes, I don't know, maybe just sounds of the house, I guess. Oh. After about 15 minutes of lying there in the dark, we both got an itchy, uncomfortable sensation all over our bodies. It's as if we were being very lightly tickled with a feather from head to toe. We both freaked the hell out and left in a hurry. It was about 2 seconds from the front door of that old house to the back door of our new house, so we just went home and played Xbox until morning. Eventually, I chalked it up in my head to mites or some other form of weird bug that would probably reside in a rundown, old, uninhabited, abandoned house. I'm going to say right here, that really could be the case. You know, if you're sleeping in a creepy place that nobody's lived in for 10 years, there's all kinds of varmints and insects and crap in that house. There could be a baby snake. And that house is full of things like that. So even if it's not haunted, it's all the other stuff.
And I'm going to say that right now. That might just be a bit worse.
Yeah, right? Fast forward about 4 years, I was around 14 years old, and at this point, have had nightmares about that old place for years. In the dreams, it was as if I was seeing through the eyes of a lonely, sad person moving about slowly from room to room in the house. I'm not really ever looking for anything, not having a physical body. There was never anybody else in the house aside from the occasions when the person I saw through the eyes of... Because it was like she was a different person. Okay, so in her dream, she saw through the eyes of this other person, would walk to a window and look out, where I would then either see me and my friends or family playing in the yard. My father mowing, my grandfather driving by on one of his tractors or something of the sort. Sometimes it was dark, but that didn't change anything in the dream. The person's actions remained the same, moving about from room to room silently without a purpose, sad and lonely.
That's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And it's interesting that she is in the body of somebody else, feeling that person's emotions and looking out and seeing herself playing. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if it's almost like that thing that, like, I talked about in a more recent episode, where it's like maybe like the thing was either connecting to her energy line or she was connecting to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, at 14 years old, my mother decided that I was then old enough to start babysitting for my little brother after I got off the school bus until she got home from work, usually around midnight. Oh my God. Poor kid at 14 had a full-time job. My little brother was about 2 or 3 at the time, and around this time frame, he developed an imaginary friend called John. According to my little brother, John was a little boy who had passed away in a fire. It gave me the creeps sitting in the living room of that house by myself, listening to my little brother in his room talking and carrying on about a conversation with somebody who wasn't there and playing as if he was in the middle of a sleepover with a friend. This went on for months and months until eventually he finally stopped talking about John. At this point in the story, fast forward again to me at 16 years old. I had a license. The driveway set up at the time meant that when you were parked, your headlights were aimed directly at the old house. It was dark, ominous, windows staring blankly right back at you. I pulled in one night after a date, and as my headlights swept across one of the far windows to the left of the living room before coming to a rest aimed center at the house, I could have sworn I saw a child standing in the window. I quickly backed up and swept my headlights over the window again, and nothing. That would happen so fast. We're going to fast forward one last time to my current age of 29. My grandfather passed away a few months ago in the very same house that he built with his own two hands directly after returning home from World War II and located about 250 meters from both the house I grew up in and the old rundown place that no longer exists. My grandfather leveled it about 10 years ago. As my family was cleaning out his house, my mother came across an old picture from around 1927. In the photo, my great-grandparents are sitting in the center with my grandfather, around 6 years old at the time, in between them. Several of my great-aunts and uncles are standing around them with their wives and husbands. The photo was taken directly in front of the old house that used to terrify me and my mother's backyard to this day. We showed the picture to my grandmother, who is slipping in her old age. She has her days, but no matter the day, she can pull out the names and dates from almost anything pre-1960. She quickly named every single person in the photo and also named the eventual demise of many of them. There was, however, one problem. On the porch of the old house, directly behind the faces of my old long-gone family members, stood a little boy. My grandmother could not figure out who it was and said she had never seen him before. As you know, getting a picture taken in those days was no easy task. It took time. It was a big deal. People didn't just photobomb pictures the way they do these days. We cannot for the life of us figure out who he is. My brother doesn't remember his imaginary friend, but I would almost bet money that if he could, he would call him John. Anyway, at this point, I feel the need to stress that I come from a family that is no nonsense. My father was a police officer and, for the most part, very stern. We just never talked about such things. I don't know if I believe in the paranormal even today, and I have intentionally put myself in situations since then with no other even remotely curious experiences. When I was 19, I moved in with a friend into an apartment built right on the edge of a graveyard, graves literally 10 feet from our back window. That would creep me out. The only thing in the apartment when we moved was a beaded cross hanging from that very window. I wonder if it just showed up there or something. I'll tell you, I tell you all that to tell you this. I am not one of those people who immediately assume this or that it was because ghosts or demons or this or that. I consider myself a logical person. All that aside, I cannot explain that creepy old picture or John. That's from Jason.
Ooh.
So, okay, let's go back to the itchy feeling in the old house. That could have been bugs.
That probably was bugs.
So maybe not paranormal. Can't say about that. Maybe it was, but it's a creepy rundown house. Nobody's lived in for 10 years. There's all kinds of bugs and insects and critters and shit. And then what do you think about like his brother? That could be just an imaginary friend, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it was a ghost, but it is creepy when you hear somebody talking to someone who's not there.
Oh my God, I talk to myself all the time.
Well, that's because you and I do that because we're crazy.
Yeah, well.
I mean.
At the end of the day, there's so many like explanations for that. Look, I'm sure I used to talk to imaginary like people too when I was younger, but at the same point, I talk to myself now. So like there's somebody else in like in the room. So it could just be that.
I do talk to myself too. I like to say I'm talking to my pets, but I'm frequently just talking to myself. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Could it be paranormal? Maybe. And then the photograph, if it was from around 1927, my mom has one of those memories. Like she can look at pictures. Well, that's Uncle Albert and that's Aunt Doris and that's their kids, Peg. And, you know, so she's like everybody. She knows everybody. It is weird to see a boy in a family photo because he would have had to have been there for a reason. You wouldn't just let the random kid down the street. But it could have been an actual person. Maybe this kid was a family friend or maybe he was a cousin that was over visiting. It's just, it's hard to tell. What do you think?
It also could have been like one of the kids' friends.
Yeah.
Or just like, and yeah.
And I mean, I do get it though. It would be unusual because they did take pictures very seriously back then and there wouldn't have been photo bombing and they wouldn't have let a random person into their family photo.
Yeah.
But could it have been a cousin or somebody that maybe was just there visiting? And didn't normally live with them? I don't know. But when you put the things together, that's what makes it feel paranormal.
Yeah.
The kid with the imaginary friend, the driving up to the house thinking she saw a little kid, and then the kid in the photo. Like, those things make it feel paranormal.
Yeah.
Whether it is or not, I don't know. What do you think?
I honestly don't know, but I do think the part where it's like she was like almost like seeing like that person just like kind of like roam around the house, which is like honestly kind of like a sad thing, like as if like it's like the like whatever she was like connecting to on the energy line, just like roaming around the house. I thought that was kind of an interesting part.
I don't know. I don't know. For sure that I can say that's paranormal, but it definitely feels creepy.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
So here's our next story. It says, my story happened in December 2008. We were traveling from Texas to Missouri and back. It was an all-day round trip, so we brought our dogs with us. Well, our GPS went wonky, and we got lost somewhere in Oklahoma. That happened to me once, too. I got lost in Oklahoma. My GPS sent me to the middle of nowhere. We turned off the road to find a gas station and ask for directions. The attendant instructed us to continue the way we were going, and it would look around. Oh, and it would hook around and take us right back to the freeway. Cool. So we got on our way. After about 20 minutes on a dark road and no sight of the freeway, we started getting nervous. I was rummaging in my purse for something when all of a sudden, every hair on my body pricked up and my senses went on red alert. I whipped my head around and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. A dead, empty town on a dead, empty street. Fog, ruined buildings, swinging lights, not a hint of a person. My husband said nervously, "You felt that too?" And I said, "Get us the F out of here." And we floored it. The, in quotes, town, and I use that term lightly, maybe only was a mile long and we were past it. But that didn't improve our situation because as soon as we passed the town, we were in the middle of cornfields, taller than the car. I said, "I've seen this movie. The creepy murder family gets the lost tourists and makes them watch while they murder the dogs first." Oh my God, that's horrible.
Oh.
We tried to stay calm for each other, but we were terrified. Eventually, we found the freeway, our GPS recalibrated, we got unlost, and beelined it home. Made it about 5 hours later. I have tried to find this town on Google Maps ever since. I haven't been able to find it again. The only thing I could find was that the road the gas station attendant pointed us to used to be part of the old Route 66. Creepy enough, I know, but I realized something just recently while thinking about this story. It was in the middle of December. Why was there tall green corn in the fields at all? That's why I believe we drove through a time slip. Thank you for your wonderful show and listening to my story, Bianca. So do you think they could have gone through some kind of weird time slip, like some times or some Twilight Zone episode?
Yeah, that could be the case. But I know they told us like a lot in that story, but like I want to know like more details. Like, what did the town look like? I feel like the moment we got out of like the town, I was like, oh, it was like only like a mile long, right? Besides like broken buildings and stuff like that. But you can like really kind of tell like the era of something on like based off like what things look like. Cause like I feel like almost like every century or so has like buildings that look like they're from that century. Just like with the 2020s and 2000s and stuff like that. Like you can just like tell.
Right. Agreed.
And I do think it's odd how they like saw like freshly like growing corn in the middle of December, because that's not common. Like you don't really find that.
That's my part of the country, Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, and there are no green anything in the middle of December.
And usually like around that like December time, it's usually like very snowy, right?
Everything is dyed, you know. You would not see green corn stalks in December.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's also like the same like point that I've made many episodes now. Well, actually in that last story where it's like, I wonder if like that, if like that car like itself like connected to like a different energy line. Because like it could have just been like a very like strange spot where like, let's say there's like many like places that like power plants around there, like that could seriously like mess up some like energy lines, like especially like natural ones and just like natural energy timelines.
If
you really think about it,
do you think there could be a time slip as a paranormal event during which people on their own or as a group inexplicably travel through time by unknown means and for unknown reasons? So then it goes on to this one that I just Googled. See, these people stayed at a hotel that didn't exist. They found this motel and they talked to some people, but it was never there. So I don't know. Because it's weird. I could almost see it happening with one person, but with two people, you're both experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that...
That's strange.
I think it's very strange. I do understand how you might not find it on Google Maps. That kind of makes some sense to me because it's a ghost town. The town's not there. Nobody's living there. So that might not be documented. You might have to like physically try to go drive around and find it. But it is creepy. I'm going to go with that. That's super creepy. Because could you imagine Like, it's middle of the night, and you're feeling like this is where they come out and murder us. They're going to kill the dogs first. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's, like, awful to think.
So I don't know if it was paranormal, but I do know it's creepy.
Yeah, that is really creepy to think.
So if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? You can call it in, 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, you can certainly do that. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.